If I was making a list of the great assholes of the 20th century, you'd be in the top five.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark.
And my name is not Lee Stark, I am Gary Stark, as it happens.
Is that special? Is that good for you?
Oh, it's very good for me.
Are you sure?
It's the only name I've ever had.
Wow, that's exciting. No one ever decided to rebrand you, call you Pepsi or something?
Not lately.
No, not lately. No, you're not diet. No, you're not diet. No,
definitely not.
To be honest, you're not diet. You're barely max. But welcome to the Gadget
Can you
Grill.
Supersize me, please?
I think you're already there. We don't want to go any further than what you already have. Welcome to the Gadget Grill for January 10th, 2010. We are the 10th of the 1st of the 10th.
Yes. I don't think it's palindromic.
One, no, it's not. It would be in America.
Well.
No, it's not. No.
If we drop the leading zero on the month in Australia, it'll be 10110.
At least we know today is still binary for something.
Yeah,
we should find out what that actually is.
Yes, there you go. And that's the last binary date of the year.
It's the last binary decade until next year. Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Wow.
There you go. It's an important day, then, isn't it?
It's an important day. So this is the binary episode of the Gadget Grill.
Well, there you go.
We'll be speaking in only ones and zeros. 1101, 101.
0011100.
And I hope you've got your translators on, because this should be an exciting episode of ones and zeros. Tonight on the Gadget Grill, we are talking about the best of CES. Almost rhymes.
Yes,
it almost rhymes. CES, Consumer Electronics Show, which was just in Las Vegas over the weekend.
The best of CES. If there was a pool of stuff there, you know, it'd be a cesspool.
Oh, wow, the bad jokes just start. It's not enough I'm moving out, the bad jokes have to exist like that.
You'll still get them. I'll email you.
Yeah, you'll email me the bad jokes. And a roundup of the bad jokes this weekend are... I just delete that. That becomes spam. Tonight we're talking about the best gadgets at CES, because we weren't there. Unless we're broadcasting live from there now in our imaginations. Are we broadcasting live from there now in our imaginations? We might be.
Definitely. I just won a mozza on the slot machine.
It's only in imaginary money, so of course you can only spend it inside your brain. What are you spending with that money?
What am I buying? I'm going to buy one of those new 3D TVs.
Oh, the new 3D TVs. Because tonight we're
also 3D Blu-ray.
Well, yes, because tonight we're also talking about 3D technology, because we've been experimenting with it, we've been playing with it, and even though we haven't played with the really, 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 really new stuff that was announced this weekend, we can tell you how it works, or at least how it's going to affect you.
Or perhaps how it doesn't work.
Yeah, in Australia it's not really going to affect most people.
Actually, they're talking about releasing a lot of that stuff in Australia by the middle of the year.
I'm talking about prices. How many people here are actually going to buy new TVs? Hold on. Did you get a new TV for Christmas? If you just nodded your head...
Tough. Too bad. It's out of date.
Yeah, it's really not. That's the problem with this whole situation. It's about to get really sticky.
That's one of the problems, of course, with technology. Technology gets updated so frequently.
I'm looking at the page right now.
You've got to choose when you buy something, and you've got to accept that when you buy something...
It's already out of date.
It's already out of date.
It was out of date before they released it, let's just be honest. So that's our show. We've also got some news. Hopefully it's not all CES-related, our news, because...
Oh, most of it is, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. When the Consumer Electronics Show takes up the week, everything and almost every single item in the news is based off the Consumer Electronics Show. There's no avoiding it. It's just how it works.
It's been a big week in Las Vegas.
It's been a huge week in Las Vegas. Next time I'm going.
On the subject of a huge week in Las Vegas, there's actually two shows in Las Vegas. There were two shows in Las Vegas this week. The other one was equally important.
Oh, was it the adults?
Yes, the adult entertainment.
Absolutely. I'm really annoyed I didn't get to go to either. I mean, I would have spent more time at one than the other. That would probably have been the adult entertainment ones. But
which one was bigger? The size matter?
I think that the people at the Adult Entertainment Awards would have been more fun, to be honest. I don't think they'd be cool.
Well, of course.
For what it's worth, all the really big technological breaks that affect home entertainment happen in pornography first.
That's exactly right. I've actually got that as a news story.
Bugger. Well, you get to repeat that.
Exactly.
We'll get into a song to start this show off. Here it is.
On the subject of size not mattering.
Does that really play into that song? I don't think it does.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
This is a Mark...
From Jack and the Beanstalk.
But it's not. This is from Mark Bolley and the Hubbard Dudes from Queensland. This is a fee-fi-fo-fi-fum.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
You're supposed to hit play. It's got a bit of an intro that we can talk over, you know.
So I've hit play. So now what?
This is okay. So this now we say this is Mark Bolley and the Hubbard Dudes with fee-fi-fo-fi-fum.
There you go.
Yeah. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you're listening to us on binary...
Well, that would be digital radio, wouldn't it?
It would be digital radio.
Or on the internet, which is digital radio.
Yeah, so
well.
If you're listening to us on a regular radio, you're listening to us on regular radio. You're listening to us on digital, and you're transferring us at assembly level. You're listening to it in the way that my translator is speaking right now. Silence. Now, if you're listening to...
00110.
Shut up.
How does the echo go into binary?
100. No, I don't get much echo on my mic.
I do here.
Yeah, there you go. So, if you're listening to us through a binary translator on a computer, you're listening to us at www.radio2rdj.com/stream. Actually, that's the shortcut to get to it quickly, unless if you don't want to visit the charming front page we have that tells you about all the fun things they do at this beautiful, impressively brilliant radio station. Right, June?
And June. June's waving.
Oh, June's waving.
June,
I can't see her.
She's next door.
She's next door? Okay,
there she
cool.
is. She's waving.
She's asking why I just
smudged
the windows.
June, could you please wave with all the fingers of your hand, not just one?
They're currently repairing Studio B and turning into something even more brilliant than what Studio B represents.
On the subject of the internet, there's a groundswell of protest against the internet filter.
I thought you were going to say against the internet itself. There probably is
against the internet filter.
Yes.
And there is planned to be a national day of protest, which looks like it's going to happen on March the 6th.
March the 6th. I wonder if I'll be back.
So keep listening to the show, and as I get more information, we're going to be broadcasting this to you so that...
Are you saying we should broadcast live from the event? I don't think we can. No, we probably won't be at 9 p.m.
That's not something that we're going to be able to do, but certainly the protest about the internet filter is something that I feel quite strongly about. And if you do too, then come and join us at the protest on March 6th. Stay tuned, we'll give you more information.
Whoa, you're just saying I have to come now?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm going to go.
Oh, you're going to go. I don't know if I'm going to go.
Well, I'm not probably
sure.
Going to go.
I don't think the protest can actually do anything, to be honest. I think that sadly the people who should be listening just aren't.
Okay. So that's my first news item that was non-CES related.
Wow, no, we're going to try and get through as many non-CES related ones as humanly possible. Is that right?
Well, I've got another one.
Okay, you've got another one.
Another one, and that is that a major flaw in the password handling procedures in secure thumb drives makes them trivially easy to unlock.
Okay.
Apparently, research by a German security company has uncovered a glaring hole in the security management of a variety of USB flash drives with AES 256-bit hardware encryption. In a nutshell, the problem is in the communication between the password management software on the computer and the unlock code on the device. Love this. You'll be amazed to know, or maybe you won't be.
I probably won't be.
That no matter what the password, the unlock code sent to the device is always the same.
Sounds a lot like an iPhone, to be completely honest.
Some of the devices affected by this, Kingston's Data Traveller Black Box, the SanDisk Cruiser, Enterprise FIPS Edition, and the Verbatim Corporate Security FIPS Edition.
Wow, that's really bad.
Isn't it?
In new-ish news, back in the 80s and 70s when they talked about robots taking
over... You remember the 70s, don't you?
I do remember the 70s because I wasn't even a fetus. I wasn't even a molecule in anyone's body. I'm showing my un-age here, whereas you're showing your of-age here.
Well,
anyway,
keep that up and you'll be unfriended in a minute.
You're going to unfriend me from Facebook? You don't even have a Facebook account.
Oops.
Okay. Well,
Just like the security on the SanDisk and the Kingston.
Well, see, now this is interesting. It's just a change in how we interpret the world, because what was once called a futuristic sex robot is now only called a sex robot because they are here. I'm not kidding. Sex robots now exist. And we had the real doll, which was basically a steel doll that people did things with, but now there is actually a proper sex robot. I'm not kidding. I'm hoping it doesn't run on Windows and crash in mid-job, but...
I am afraid to ask the obviously important questions that need to be asked about this device.
Yeah, look, I think we should get one in for... No, you should get one in for...
I think we should.
We should get one in for review. We can talk to it on the air.
We should get that black box thing in as well.
The black box thing?
Remember the thing that we saw during the week?
No.
That I showed you? The stereo thing.
Maybe we should have it sit on each other.
I think we should get one of those. Yeah, that'd be good with the six, right?
Meanwhile, over at Apple, I've got some Apple news because there's an Apple event happening in a few weeks. In fact, it's happening on Australia Day. What a strange day to have it happen.
Indeed.
Yeah, perfect. with that sound baked into the EFI, with the Apple rumour swirling today, will Apple add a camera flash to the iPhone? It's expected that with the next iPhone iteration, which should happen maybe sometime middle of this year towards late year, they're bound
to update.
It's going to have a 5-megapixel... Stop it. Stop it, you. It's going to have a 5-megapixel camera as opposed to a 3.2-megapixel one. It's going to have proper 3D graphics because they're eyeing a few people for that. And it might have a better way of streaming audio because they've bought a few people with that. Oh, and it probably will look a lot like the iSleep, the i, whatever it's going to be called. Hey, Dad, do you want to play a game?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so iPhone, Winmo, Android. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, so you're... So wait,
That's a slate.
Okay, so that's a slate.
No, this is a slate.
So I got an iPhone. My iPhone beats your slate.
No, the slate beats the iPhone.
But you don't know. You haven't seen the slate.
The slate beats the iPhone.
The slate could be crap. My iPhone could be, can
but the
calls.
iSlate beats the...
You can't make there that assumption.
There is a new game, ladies.
You can't make that assumption. Okay, I think June's telling us to get past this. June's like our second producer, the one that kills us when we're doing something too bad. Dad, continue on with some news.
Yeah. What I was saying was that there's a new game now that's been coined along the lines of scissor, paper, stone, where you use your hands to indicate different devices, and it covers all these new devices and a few of the older ones. So you can have a clamshell type phone, or you can have an Android, or you can
Can I do an engage and do a taco against my head?
If you do an engage, then you're immediately out of the game.
Oh, but it plays games.
You're immediately out of the game.
It looks like a taco. What phone looks like a taco?
Las Vegas. Panasonic have released the first portable...
It's a CES story.
Yes, a CES story. Ooh. Panasonic have released the first portable Blu-ray player. They've released another one.
I've never understood why it's needed.
Yeah, they've announced a second generation of portable Blu-ray players.
Second generation because their first one did so well.
Yeah, with two models, the DMP-B100 and the DMP-B500.
Look, it's an acronym no one can understand.
There we go. The 500, 10.1-inch WSVGA LCD display, built-in Wi-Fi. Supports streaming content portal. No release date or pricing announced, so let's ignore that one.
Can I actually expand on your Blu-ray thing with a new story that's not related to CES? Let me just tell you about one of the other
Panasonic announcements first of all, because they've also got
this one's about Blu-ray. The one I've got is yours.
This is about another Panasonic announcement.
Okay.
With a 3D Blu-ray player.
Well, see, at least they've decided on a standard. But what actually I've got, my story is more interesting than that. Sony and
that wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, it would not be hard. You need a filter of that crap today, aren't you? My announcement is that Sony and Panasonic have worked on a new optical disc technology based off Blu-ray that can increase the capacity via firmware.
That's interesting.
Isn't it? And it means they can go from 25 gig to 33.4 gig using Blu-ray diodes over a firmware upgrade.
Okay, while we're on the subject of firmware, we'll go back to that story that I had about the security problem. Does that make that flaccidware?
If you want to get more of these jokes, you can listen to the new Gary Stark joke show, which has managed to kill 12 gerbils this week.
At CES, Dell have announced plans to release a slate-style tablet PC.
Isn't it tiny, this thing? I heard it was a very small device.
A 5-inch device, smaller than rival ideas coming from HP. They've announced one as well, and also presumably from Apple. It's just a concept at this stage. It's just purely
but
a design
concept.
The
problem I have with that is that I already have a device like that. It's called a phone.
I already
have a phone. Speaking of phones, the Google Nexus 1, the new phone that is probably going to attract every iPhone user from some of the stuff it's gotten. Google have been getting a ton of complaints. I mean a ton, because apparently it can't work out whether to switch from 3G and Edge. Edge is the American's version of GPRS, the 2G or 2.5G internet technology for your phone. It's having a lot of problems with that. Hopefully they can be fixed on firmware. If not, people are...
Should appear.
Yeah.
But the Google Android has been... the Nexus One has been announced. There's some legal problems there. The Dick family, I don't appreciate the fact that they're
using...
Who are
the Dick family, Dad?
They're the people who wrote...
The book is called... The
movie is Blade Runner.
The book is Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
Yes.
Do not try to counter me on this one.
Yes.
I am a Philip Dick fan.
Yes. And they're unhappy with Google's use of the term Android and Nexus One, because Nexus One and Nexus 6, I think it is, are used in the book and in the movie.
Yeah, but for what it's worth, while Philip K. Dick may have really pushed the edges of what science fiction was, he wasn't the only one. And I'm not quite sure they can attribute Android specifically to him, nor can, because that's become a pretty common word. Nexus, once again, that's been used in so many other science fiction things.
That's right.
I'm not quite sure you can sit there and go, hang on, well, he must have invented this.
I'm pretty sure there's some software called Nexus.
Yeah,
well.
It's, if they're just jumping on it because of that, that seems wrong.
Yeah. National Geographic have compiled every issue of the magazine from 1888 to 2008. And loaded them onto a 160 gigabyte hard drive, which you can buy.
I think that's excellent.
$200, you get 120 years worth of National Geographic, and you know, that's a 3.5-inch drive.
That's superb. But to counter your story, I've got one that's even better, because I tried it the other week. Playboy have put up every issue they've practically made for the past 50 years onto a website where you can look at them for free. So you know what? Take your National Geographic on a hard drive and shove it. Playboy
so
will beat you.
So you're raising me.
I'm raising you. I'm raising the stakes to new levels of softcore pornography.
I win. That one.
Should we get into a song? We've probably got too much crap to afterwards, unless you've got an important news story.
I've got just the one other one that we alluded. Actually, I've got four very quick ones. We'll leave them till later on, maybe.
Later on? Because we've got to leave you a smoking gun.
Yeah.
We'll leave you a smoking gun.
Okay, indeed.
We'll leave you a smoking gun. Indeed, the same way, this is Bertie Blackman with Smoking Gun.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2, RDJ, the voice of the innerish West, because they're innerish and more innerish than most Irish.
Actually, it's more like gibberish than
Irish. Yeah, the voice of the gibberish West. 01011?
1110.
And on this segment, we're going to get into what we tried to avoid in the news segment, which was CES features, because that's our feature this week. I know it's sad. I know you're probably looking for something else. I know you're probably calling in. Hi, Rudy. You didn't call tonight. But I know you're probably calling in hoping that we'll play some more great music. Sadly, we're not. We're going to talk about more useless crap.
Yeah, as we always do.
As we always do. Because,
we're good at talking about
this
useless crap.
This year is all about useless crap. It's about 3D. It's about personal
invention. Apparently, there's a demonstration toilet somewhere on the CES floor.
A demonstration toilet. Did anyone actually demonstrate their efficient use?
From what I can gather, sadly, yes, they did.
Oh, wow. I've got to dig up that story. I won't dig up that story, however. We'll talk about some of the important things for this year.
You want
year.
To flush that story?
But what's interesting about CES, and a lot of people don't realize, the Consumer Electronics Show, it absolutely sets the stage for all the new technology that's going to shape our year. It basically sets the stage...
Well, and beyond the year as well.
Well, no, but it does set the stage for stuff that's going to affect people this year specifically. It's basically like, if you wanted to find the trends for this year, if you want to know what people should be focused on, you pay attention to CES and the news websites that...
3D.
And that's pretty much the big one, aside for the really bad, lurchy, Adam's Family Frankenstein-y accent that Dad just adopted there. 3D is huge. If you didn't have a clue that 3D was going to be big from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Up, and Avatar, well...
ESPN have shown some new cameras. You didn't see the picture of this.
I've got the picture of the camera on here. I crave one.
The 3D camera that ESPN using with the two lenses?
Yeah.
Absolutely magic.
And Panasonic actually have a few that they're working on, so do JVC. Panasonic's one costs $21,000, which is actually pretty inexpensive.
That's pretty cheap for what it is.
Given what it is.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, a 3D camera actually is more like two cameras stuck together with two sets of lenses, and it records that information basically by adopting an eye length or an eye-based view. So picture two sets of eyes as two sets of cameras, and that's what you have.
Well, ESPN have announced that they're going to be broadcasting games from the World Cup soccer in South Africa later this year in 3D.
You know, I'm all for this, and I know we're going to talk about this in the next segment, but we're obviously not now, so we'll just move this forward. We'll talk about 3D in this segment.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad, for that one.
We're just that's part of it.
It is.
Samsung have announced some 3D flat-screen TVs.
And Intel have announced some interesting technology that involves 3D without glasses just in the past day.
Okay, that'll be very interesting. Panasonic announced some 3D stuff, as I mentioned earlier, the 3D Blu-ray player. Mm-hmm. Samsung have said, and Panasonic have both said, that their devices are going to be available locally in Australia by the middle of the year.
What's interesting about 3D, and what I think bothers me about it, as someone who's been playing with it for the past few weeks, is that it doesn't have any place in most of the applications we have. For instance, you wouldn't want 3D news. There's no reason for 3D news. News should be 2D. Sports is much the same way. Why do you care about sports in 3D?
Well, you've got to set up your cameras correctly for sports. You know, I could imagine in a soccer game, a camera placed behind or in the goalpost.
I don't want the ball to look like it's hurtling towards my head. That scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be run over by a Formula One car. I don't want a ball in basketball to be tossed at my head.
I think Formula One would be absolutely awesome in 3D.
I think it'd only be fun. I think it would get irritating. And I think most sports, most things are in 2D. In fact, I actually don't see a lot of value in things like TV shows.
Can you just
shows.
Imagine a scrum?
No, I really don't want to imagine a scrum. I don't like scrums.
How about player cam in 3D in a mall in the rugby union?
But do you really want people to throw up while they watch sports? I mean, that might reduce the amount of sports on TV in Australia, and that can only be a good thing. But
cricket in 3D, now there's
it's 9 hours of excruciating 3D.
This time has come.
Well, the worst thing about that is that 3D actually does begin to grind a lot of people down. I know a lot of people have been coming back from seeing Avatar, and they've been feeling sick in about 20 minutes of watching it. That is a problem with 3D. It can do that to you. So would you really want to watch sports in 3D?
Some sports, yes.
But not all.
Would
you really want to watch a lot of TV shows? I mean, the aspect of TV of 3D is that it makes it...
Oh, the Jetsons in 3D. Come on.
No, it wouldn't work. It's a 2D show, Dad. It's completely 2D. I've been demonstrating that to you.
Letterman in 3D.
Most
That's
things,
definitely 2D.
Most things wouldn't work in 3D. They have no reason to be in 3D.
Seinfeld in 3D. No, that's definitely 1D.
You know what? Yeah, I think you're missing the point. It's that a lot of things don't really need that 3D transition.
No, they don't.
And it takes actually more work to do it. James Cameron pulled it off, and the people behind Cloud of a Chance of Meatballs pulled it off, but very few people can. I can name a lot of 3D movies that had no reason in being in 3D. I can name scenes in Avatar that completely didn't need it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so even though it's going to be big, it's unneeded for everything. It's great for movies. It's completely unneeded for a lot of things. However, that is not going to stop people from releasing it. So JVC...
How about telecasts broadcast from war zones? Do you think Seven Nation Army...
Are we jumping into the song already?
Yes.
Wow, did we talk that much? Yeah, it might be. This is a White Stripes cover by Alice Russell and Nostalgia 77. This is Seven Nation Army. We'll get into some proper CES stuff after this song. 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. I'm almost annoyed that I have to talk about CES some more, because my God, the useless gadgets this week have just been phenomenal. I mean, CES, beautiful. We don't need CES for useless gadgets, but hey, it helps. Every little bit helps. So we're going to get into some...
Okay, so what are some of the highlights?
Well, let's talk about some of the trends that we're going to see this year. Not so much trends, but actually just important devices. I think MSI have been on a roll.
They've introduced some very interesting devices.
Come up with some very cool stuff. Of course, they've got their laptops, they've got their netbooks, they've got their desktops. They have this week announced three very impressive concepts, one of which is a touchscreen, or sort of like a touchscreen computer, an all-in-one device that the keyboard can sort of hide away. Did you see that thing?
No, I didn't.
That's very cool. The two that interest me most, one is a sort of like a netbook e-reader device. It's a laptop with two touchscreens on it. And two color touchscreens that runs Windows 7. It's basically what I want an e-reader to be, which is a small computer I can fold over like a book.
Imagine your ordinary netbook or laptop computer.
Imagine a book.
Instead of your keyboard, you've got a second screen.
Yeah, and it's all touchscreen. That is a superb idea, just like their projector, which is such an interesting idea. A computer inside of a projector with a DVD drive built directly in.
So it's a computer.
And it's HD video.
Yeah, so it's a computer that projects directly onto a projector.
Yeah, well, it's a computer that is in
a projector. Sorry, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's fantastic.
That's
a great idea.
On the subject of concepts, Samsung came out with a very interesting laptop concept that features a 14-inch OLED display. It's actually an AM...
Ooh, organic LED. That's
actually
an
AM OLED display.
Oh, that's not quite the same.
Which, when turned off, becomes up to 40% transparent.
Yes, I saw this. It's basically a translucent, as opposed to a translucent LCD display on your laptop.
Exactly.
Which is a very cool idea.
It looked very, very cool.
I just wonder how well it's going to survive in the sun, the entire technology, to be completely honest. But
yes.
We should speak about Pixel Key, who have created sort of like an electronic ink that can be used as electronic ink and then... as a color display on a monitor,
that looked very, very cool.
Very cool, and apparently they've sold it to quite a few people. It's going to be used in a lot of devices.
It looks like a very interesting device,
in laptops as a great technology.
Yeah, yeah. On a similar note, how about that? Remember the Pico projector that we saw that projects a keyboard down?
Onto
a table.
Projects a keyboard onto a table, and allows you to type in laser.
Yes, it's quite an amazing device that basically just projects a keyboard onto your work area, and you type onto the keys on the work area, and it registers what you're typing.
Yeah, they've changed it now. I've heard they've changed. It's become a color LCD. It's become a proper color thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not just that. I've heard there's a version now that's more or less like it projects a color touchscreen and allows you to touch wherever it is. So you could project on a pillow and type on a pillow. What a fantastic piece of technology that is! Xbox announced that they
totally changes the concept of a laptop
completely. Xbox have got their big technology coming out, and this is basically where video games should be going.
You're talking about the
Project Natal.
Yes, which we spoke about this also
to Janet Carr at Good Game.
We did
about how technology is changing that, and this is Microsoft's attempt to say, hey, you don't need your controller, you can interact with the game itself over video. And it's a great idea. Think of a racing game where instead of plugging in a controller, because that's not really intuitive, you hold your hands out and you shift left to the right, you move it as if you're driving a real car.
Okay, I hope the listener is paying attention to and watched exactly what
you
did there.
You hold your hands out in front, grip it like you're gripping a fake steering wheel, and you lift left and you go left and right. So that's how people play games
as kids.
You'd make
a good Jack Brabham doing that.
Yeah, I would. Unless I'm very much mistaken.
That's Murray Walker.
I'll take either.
You'll take either. Okay.
I'll take either.
Okay. Some other very interesting stuff that was there.
Mm-hmm.
HTC.
HTC.
They've announced their first phone based on the Brew platform.
What's Brew? It sounds like a beer.
Yeah, it's not.
Damn.
It's another operating system. And they've announced a phone that's 300 megahertz CPU, 2.8-inch TFT LCD touch-sensitive screen, blah, 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 available in Europe and Asia.
That probably means us, actually.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Panasonic?
I heard a few things about Panasonic.
Did you hear about their big, 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 big display?
The big LCD display that's 7 millimeters thick or something?
No, that's a thin display. I'm talking about the plasma display that was 152 inches.
Size doesn't matter.
Yes, it does when it plays. And this is something that's going to confuse people. Full HD is not proper HD. It is. Full HD is full HD as far as standards. It displays at 1920 by 1080. This Panasonic, however, displays at 4000 by 2000, which in the industry we call 4K resolution. Gets better. There's actually 8K resolution, which companies like Red actually shoot on. So full HD is not really full HD. So it's a stupid name.
Yeah, so this is going to be quite interesting when you're watching movies that are, well,
it's not
that
just
are done
that.
For the IMAX.
It's not just 4K by 2K. It's also 3D.
Oh, okay.
Has anyone got a spare $600,000 lying around?
Yes, yes. Oh, if you've only got a spare $60 lying around, then you can get the portable USB charger from a company called Megaboom.
Megaboom?
Yeah, this is a USB charger that you power up by winding a handle on it.
What a cool idea.
Yes.
Do we
on the subject of wine, yes, we do. On the subject of winding handles, mm-hmm. and for the audiophile amongst us, we have a...
Well, my last story is on audio, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a mini-watt vacuum tube integrated amplifier that lets you run your speakers on your computer via a tube amplifier.
This sort of thing's not new. You can buy tube. You've been able to buy amplifiers for your speakers at home for ages.
Yeah, yeah, but this is for your computer speakers.
Yeah, that's probably unneeded. Your sound card's probably the limiting factor there.
Yeah.
Unless you're using motherboard sound, that's perfect. That'll make your sound 10 times worse anyway.
Yeah. 2.5 watts for each channel, $230. Shipping is $40 within the US. 5 by 4 inches. I think we should get one of those.
Probably. Meanwhile,
it'd go well with this, wouldn't it?
Cambridge consultants have unveiled a new concept called white space radio. And what this does is, and this is really important, the interference that normally exists between things like mobile broadband and TV stations, all that, they would like to put radio on those frequencies, on those bandwidths.
Okay, that's cool.
So basically we'd say, hey, we would exist between a TV line.
Okay.
Oh, so I guess we can exist in a town like this. This is a.
I suppose we should.
That was a crappy segue. I apologize.
Yeah.
This is Katie Groves with A Town Like This. You can find her on MySpace. Radio 2 RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill. And if you're all CES'd out, good news, we're not talking about CES for another 10 seconds.
Okay.
We are going to talk about useless gadgets because there are tons. And since I'm moving out, I have this new craving to buy as much useless crap and fill it in my room as humanly possible because my room is now bigger in this new place where I get to move in next weekend. It's going to be an interesting show next week. I'll be so exhausted. And I have this urge to fill it with as much useless crap as humanly possible, like the Swiss cheese doorstop, because it looks like a doorstop and it looks like it's made of Swiss cheese, but it's not really real, so I couldn't eat it to make my snack.
That's a bit of a fake, isn't it?
It is. I do happen to like, however, the Blunt Umbrella.
The Blunt Umbrella.
Yeah, the Blunt. I guess they could call it the Blumbrella if they really wanted to. The Blumbrella would probably work.
Yes.
The Blunt Umbrella. Because you know how umbrellas have those sharp points? You put it up and it almost feels like you're going to poke someone's eye out.
Yeah, around it.
Well, this has basically been curved. Every edge has been curved around. So all it looks like is a comfy umbrella you can carry with you. Getting up underneath us there is Wayne. Well, that sounded weird. Bringing up underneath us is Wayne Shorter with Night Dreamer, which is a perfect way to end the show, beginning that this is night and people dream at time of day. Got some other gadgets to talk about. Dad, what have you got over there?
Well, I've got something called the Black Body.
What the hell is the Black Body?
Let me read you what it
is. Is it black?
It's something that will enhance your audio experience.
Well, if it's black, will it piss off the people with the KFC ad thing?
Probably, okay. Yeah. Yeah. The black... Now, just listen carefully to this.
Okay.
The Black Body is a high-tech audio accessory which greatly enhances your audio playback experience by addressing the interaction of your audio gear circuitry with ambient electromagnetic phenomena.
You're reading this from them, aren't you?
I'm reading this from their website. And modifying this interplay, the Black Body takes advantage of the quantum nature of particle interaction and is therefore able to permeate metal, plastic, wood and other barriers to affect the circuitry inside your components. This altered electromagnetic influence results in a profoundly improved sound quality.
What the hell does that mean? Does that make any sense? I mean, I'll tell you exactly what it means.
If you want to buy one of these, they only cost just under $1,000 US.
Oh, wait, that's actually an intelligence test, that device.
It's actually an intelligence test. Oh. If you want to buy one, then you fail. But let me tell you that if you want to buy one of those, I have got some oceanfront land in Broken Hill that you may be interested in as well.
Yeah, I heard about that oceanfront land. I've got a device for you that is sort of better than that. It's called the iVictrola Dock. You know, I'm sick and tired of personally people naming their stuff little I, big V. This station's going to become IRDJ probably by the end of this.
That's right.
Radio 88.1 IRDJ.
We're in Studio IA.
We're in Studio IA. Because yes. Every little I, big A, little I, that's big right. RDJ.
Yes.
This is the iVictrola Dock.
What do you call eyeglasses, though?
Yeah, shut up. This is the iVictrola Dock, a $400 US iPod dock based around a gramophone. What a cool idea.
Isn't that
what
wonderful?
A really cool
it
idea
looks
that
like,
is.
It looks like an old gramophone with a horn on it and all sorts of things. I mean, that'd go well with the little tube amp that I mentioned earlier.
People who buy that big black... Yeah, it would actually.
Yes.
People who buy that big black thingamabob you were talking about before, thingamabob, should be looking at a red Star Trek wetsuit.
A red Star Trek... A Star Trek wetsuit. But if you're wearing a red one...
You're in danger.
You're in deep doo-doo.
You're heading towards a shark. Star Trek wetsuit. It is a wetsuit that looks like it appeared out of a Star Trek original TV series. There's one in blue. There's one in red. They appear from 3mm to 7mm. And if you want to look really different when you're surfing on Maroubra or Bondi Beach, or if there's a beach in the inner west, because I don't actually know what beaches exist around here, one of those, because I'm not really... Yeah, no, I'm about to become an inner westie. If you... need a wetsuit for one of those, you can become a whole Star Trek wetsuit person because they're only about $430 US. That's not too bad, I guess, considering what it is. You will look like a douche. I will just say that now. As someone who speaks Klingon proudly, you will look like a douche.
And if you get one, then you probably are a douche.
You might not be if you have the Star Trek stockings for Christmas to go with it, and the Enterprise voice over IP communicator. We should end the show. Dad, go end the show.
Okay, you have been listening to, or have just missed,
Beam
the Gadget
up,
Gary. Grill. Yes, Gadget Grill on radio to RDJ FM 88.1.
He cannot end the show correctly. It just not do it.
Or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. We shall be back next Sunday night.
Hold on, I'm going to be showing my real trackiness here, but Dad, to Lingan Da. I'm not going to do it. I can't end it like that.
It's Klingon with a Scottish accent. That was
I am a Scottish Klingon.
We're going to be back next Sunday night at 9 p.m.
With Scottish Klingons.
With some Klingons.
Irish ones drinking.
Well, we're going to have
blood
Irish,
bourbon and blood
we'll
Scotch.
Have Irish gadgets that escaped from CES and headed north into snowbound UK.
Snowbound Gatwick.
Yes. Apart from that, I am Gary Stark.
I am the Klingon Scottish version of Lee Stark. You can join us next week on the Gadget Grill, where we'll be talking about something hopefully not so CES related. This is Wayne Shorter with Night Dreamer from the same disc, Night Dreamer.
And after the news, you're going to be enjoying the music of Cole Richardson,
and it may be even the voice of Cole Richardson. He's on the other side right now.
I can see him. He's on the other side of the wall and the glass.
He's on the other side of the prison glass. Enjoy the rest of Night Dreamer. We'll shut up now. See you next week, Australia.
Bye.